Blog Talk Radio.
This is a message from the CDC. Travel increases your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Take steps to protect yourself and others. Wear a mask that completely covers your nose and mouth. Masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation traveling into, within, or outside of the U.S. and in U.S. transportation hubs such as airports and stations. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Wash your hands often and watch for symptoms of COVID-19. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19travel to learn more.
Hello there. It's the end to Winning Wednesday. Hello, Michael. Thank you, listening community worldwide. You have my friend and co-host Michael Stevens Jr. and also an awesome moderator with the James Franco Project on Facebook. We thank you all for tuning in tonight. Michael's idea to talk about, and which is a great idea, something that I believe practically all of us worldwide work on, and that's peace within. Peace within, the topic will be our lead story. We welcome and invite all of you. Wouldn't that be something if we have millions of calls? We welcome and invite you to call in on sincerely of 516-595-8255. We really appreciate you also sharing your thoughts. Michael will be sharing ways that he maintained peace. I would share also, I think this past year, since the year has begun, we've been sharing ways that we can improve our lives and get more peace. To sum it up, we've practically been talking about working on being good people and surrounding ourselves around good people also. So we're going to go ahead and start the show, which is started. But let's take a moment of silence. Speaking of peace, pray, center our thoughts, whatever, but a moment of silence for all of us and also for those that we have lost. Also sending out much love and condolences to fellow supporters of the great fashion journalist, which just caught me off guard, Andre Leontali, passing away. And throughout the stories, I didn't know exactly what was the cause. Cousin Linda, who often co-hosts on Sundays, said it was because of COVID complications and he had underlying conditions that was going on. I knew it was hospital. Well, I didn't know he was hospitalized, but I know he was in the hospital from the stories, but I didn't know for what reasons. And I had hoped that it wasn't due to COVID, but due to his underlying conditions and fighting COVID, COVID and his... And the underlying problems was the cause of his demise. And such an awesome, awesome, great in the fashion world. People that don't even consider themselves fashionistas know all about him. And that is just amazing. And so I just want, before we get started, talk about that. And also, take a moment of silence. Right now. Oh, yes. Before the moment of silence. Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to say that Gaspard Ulliel, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, he's an actor. He passed away today.
Thank you, in a skiing accident. He was on my mind also. And he's in the new movie, Moon Knight, right?
He was in the movie.
And I just seen that trailer Monday night.
Yeah, right. He was in a movie.
And he played a fashion designer. And he played fashion designer Yves Saint Laurent, right?
Yeah.
But we see him in the fragrance commercials, correct?
Yes.
He's the fragrance. Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned him because in my thoughts, I'm thinking about him. I'm thinking about many others. We have lost so many people. Yes. Oh my goodness. And I've seen that trailer Monday night, doing Monday Night Football, and I remember mentioning to Terry, like, oh my God, did you see that trailer? Skin accident, right? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So those of you, yes. So, wow. Yes. So definitely sending our prayers and love to his family too. So do you want to say a prayer, or do we do a moment of silence?
I'm just more comfortable with the moment of silence.
Okay. So let's take a moment of silence, and we're pretty much started. I'm talking about, let's get the show started. We are started, and we are ready to get this peace within,
yeah.
Get more peace within. Those of you that might be saying, I got my peace. Michael and I feel peace too, but we sometimes, you know, in this life, in society, sometimes
hard.
We get wild out, and we have to keep it calm. We have to keep it calm.
Yeah.
So let's take our moment of silence, get everybody in this, even listeners, let's get in this calm mood so we can talk a peace within. Okay. That was a minute from 36 to 37 after the hour, wherever you are. So big shout out to our worldwide listeners. Thank you all, from small towns to big cities to villages to islands all around the world. We really thank you, and we appreciate you. So, Michael, talking about peace within, what would you like to share?
Well, the one thing I wanted to share, too, is that there are different types of peace I've realized in my years of living, and which have not been very long. But, there's something called external peace that I like to call external peace. So I like to listen to lo-fi music. And, you know, when I listen to lo-fi music, it makes me feel reflective. It makes me feel, think of, you know, past memories and stuff, you know. And, you know, I feel at peace. And you usually listen to lo-fi music if you're studying for homework or doing an essay, writing an essay. You know, college kids listen to it. Or sometimes what I'll do is I will take a walk at a place in Laurel, Maryland called Laurel Lakes. It's not really called Laurel Lakes. And, you know, I like to take two or three laps around that lake. I mean, walking around that lake is so peaceful. You know, it's just amazing. And then another thing I wanted to say is that sometimes when I hear the news, I try to stay away from the news because everything on the news is, like, depressing. You see somebody getting killed or hear about somebody getting killed, you know, and or I will watch, I will listen to Dr. K. I think I talked to you about her a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, and here in Maryland, it's always something going on in the city of Baltimore. They just have reached, you know, 300 homicides and whatnot or whatever. So, you know, whenever I feel like the world is coming down on me, I cut the radio off and I take up a drive and no music, anything. And then I find out that's peace. That's how you get peace. But see, that to me is external and temporary peace, because, you know, those things can, you know, this place, say for instance, I'm going to use my mom as an example. My relationship with my mom is very dysfunctional. Uh-huh. Okay. And, you know, I could be in a peaceful mood. She says something, and I get all riled up and everything. And that, in that moment, I lose my inner peace, you know. So it's always been something that I have struggled with, you know, even from when I was in middle school. You know, I've had people try to pick fights with me, and I just fall into their traps. I've had cousins try to pick fights with me. I fall in their trap, and I just get all angry. So, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that for me to have inner peace, sometimes I might have to remove myself or be alone, you know. And you know, it's just, you know, sometimes, you know, as I've gotten older, I've realized that not everything warrants a reaction, you know. Not everything, not every smart, not every smart or snide comment means that I cuss somebody out or whatnot, because, you know, really, my grandfather said, and let me tell you something, my grandfather, he passed away Christmas Day of 2020, and, you know, I remember looking at him and being in awe of how he rarely, I can count on hand how many times he lost his cool, and I can count on hand. It's been like four times I've seen him angry, and for the most part, he was happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was really in
awe.
Same
as my late mother.
Yeah, so you know, and if he got mad, you know you did wrong. So, you know,
right.
he told me before he passed away, he said
like when
that,
people say, you know, like when people say, you don't want to see my bad side.
Yeah, and he was just saying to me that, when you in control, you are in control of your emotions and everything. When you're out of control, people can get you to do whatever they want you to do, you know? So, you know, it also reminds me of Barack Obama. You know, I remember I saw him when he was running for president some years back, and his Republican competition
opponent
was saying all these things.
Opponent was saying all these things,
and he just stayed cool, calm, and collected. And some people accuse him of being a Muslim, and he just laughed at it. And I tell you, I want to have that type of cool, calm, and collected that Obama had, you know?
Yes. Yes, exactly. I received something in the mail today about Obama being, maybe I can get it when you're talking. Maybe I can reach over and get it. But, yes, he was so cool. He and the First Lady, former First Lady, they are so cool and calm about situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's a struggle, but, you know, I think it's very important for me and all of us to keep our cools, you know, or keep the peace, because there are people who enjoy pushing your buttons, right? And when you go off on them, they'll play a victim. They'll play the victim. They will play the victim.
Being Christians, and then whatever your religious faith. Many that you know, people that practice their religion or their spirituality. I won't say religion so much, but spirituality. Sometimes people that might know your former self, the person that will like snap or tell you off in a minute. Sometimes people try to test. Are you just working on being a better person? They might not have anything to do with religion or spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
You're just working on being a calmer person, a much better person, and not being a hothead about situations. You're right. There are certain people that know the buttons. Let me see if I can get that old person, that old version to come out. You know, so we have to be bigger than that. We have to be bigger than that.
And I remember when I was like in my teenager years, and I think I told you this story the last time we talked. I had a friend named Daphne. That's not a real name. The one that was born on August 11th. And, you know, So let me tell you, I ended my friendship with her. And so what she would do, she would try to do things to get me angry. She would call my house in the middle of the night and not say nothing and then hang up. And, you know, she would just play on my phone, and I would just get angry, like, you know, and I just realized that I was letting her control me. And, you know, I'm just realizing I'm just realizing I laugh at that version of myself, because really, you know, and I eventually got her to go away by not just picking up, because eventually she got my cell phone number. I don't know how Chica got my cell phone number, but she got it. But, you know, eventually, I mean, whenever she would call, I would just never pick up. And then she eventually went away. So yeah.
Wow. So those of you that are maybe trying to distance yourself from certain people or situations, bad people, places and things that aren't good for you, that's a good way to wean yourself, just like weaning a baby off a bottle. Wean yourself from negative people. Just wean yourself. Sometimes we can quit things, bad habits, bad people, going to bad places that's not good for us, cold turkey. Sometimes we have to wean ourselves away. So that is a good example of Michael weaned himself away from her, and also that was a way of him getting the message to her to leave him alone.
Yeah, and you know what? And you can't go around and say, you know, don't call my mother effing house no more, because that's going to give them more, you know, more to go on, you know.
Right.
The more you react, yeah.
Right, and then you don't want to be going to jail and stuff like that. So, right.
And I told you to
pull back that power.
Yeah, and I told you that story about my cousin Candace, that's not her real name, by the way. So me and her got into it, and I was warned that she likes to hurt other people. And so
yeah.
We got into this really bad argument, and I threatened to kill her. Let me tell you, she took that with wings, and she flew with it. She told all the guy friends that I had, said, oh, Michael said that he was going to kill me. He was going to kill me if I liked your pictures on Facebook. I gave her something to run with. And, it's just that, you know, I end up going to court and all this other stuff. The case was dismissed because she basically lied and everything. But, you know, after that situation ended, I said, I do not mess with people in my family who likes to bring the worst out of me. And, you know, I just say I'm going to stay away from that stuff because I'll disclose this with you all tonight, too. My father.
Thank you.
He had a violent temper, and, you know, he was kind of abusive a little bit. And it feels to me that there are a lot of people.
Is your dad still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but there are a lot of people on my maternal side of the family who want me to be like my father, you know. And so I said to myself, you know, stay away from people who try to get you to be like your father, you know. And you know, I am emotional because in their mind,
they're saying, oh, the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree, in a negative way.
Yeah. And yes. and a lot of kids try to pick up their parents' personality, and that's not something I want to be. And I think a lot of people are jealous of me because I don't fit that, you know, that my father's mold and everything. So
right.
Yeah. So you know, and I just learned to stay away from the maternal side
of
the family.
But like you fit the negative side, I'm sure you fit his positive side too. And they're probably jealous of the positive side of him that you do let shine.
Yeah,
because
I'm quite sure
there's a positive side. Might be a few. but they're probably
they're
probably jealous of that. They want to spotlight the negative, but you probably just let that positive side flow. You know, instead of pointing at the negative, hey, don't you notice that I'm good and so and so, and like he was too. They don't want to acknowledge that.
Yeah, and you know, usually. You know, one of my biggest challenges in my life is trying to smoothly navigate around people who are at war with themselves, because people who are at war with themselves, they will cause war in their surroundings, and they will do anything they can do to get a reaction and everything. But, you know, like I said, I don't talk to my cousin Candace anymore. I have not talked to her since 2013, and I hope I never talk to her again. But, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing is, I learned lessons, you know, and I always say this, I said this before, that people who treat you the worst
yes.
can serve as your teachers. So, you know, I'm learning
yes.
that there's things that I need to work on as a person is that, you know, just to stay away from people who try to get me to be like my father or bring out the worst in me. And, you know, and that might mean being alone, you know. That might mean being
right.
alone. And even mean being lonely. So, you know, that's cool.
And right. That's what I was telling Terry about our topics. They were talking about peace and loneliness and so on. And yes. And you mentioned a good point about self-evaluating ourselves. Sometimes when dealing with certain people that maybe trigger a certain not so good feeling, or people that like to maybe start stuff or just don't have a good vibe, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you're good at discerning people and cutting them out mm-hmm. immediately. But then what about people that you can't cut out, the people that you have to be around and stuff
yeah,
like
my
that?
Mother.
And then and you're right. And sometimes we have to we self-evaluate ourselves, but because
mm-hmm.
it's easy to say, why me? What am I dealing with to attract this? You know,
mm-hmm.
why am I causing this? Why is this manifesting in my life, this negativity, or when I'm around or dealing with this certain person? And you're right. Sometimes when you do the check marks of yourself, sometimes
mm-hmm.
we think it hits me, but maybe they're dealing with something from within, and they're
mm-hmm.
taking it out on not just me, but on themselves and other people also. Because
you mentioned
something a few days ago to me about self-love. Some of us have
mm-hmm.
to learn to like ourselves and love ourselves and also accept our flaws. And it's easier
yeah.
said than done.
And you know, I think it's raining outside. Oh, goodness. So
it's raining here, too.
Yeah, and you know, let me tell you something. So in September, I had to end a friendship, a five-year friendship,
mm-hmm.
and this is going to peace, but it has something more to do with loneliness and stuff, but it's related.
Right.
So I had this friend who is
yes.
a little bit autistic, and we'll just say for the sake of name, his name is Raphael. It's not his real name.
Yes.
You know,
I love that name, Raphael.
Yeah, I used to always come over to his house and everything, and he had autism and stuff. You know, really, he was a high-functioning
uh-huh.
autism. And he just started uh-huh. dating this girl named Angelique. That's not her real name, though.
You're picking up some of my favorite names.
uh-huh. Thank you. So they have been dating uh-huh. for nearly 2 years or whatnot. And so Raphael
yes.
was telling me, you know, why would you want to meet my girlfriend? You want to meet my girlfriend, you know? And I was like, no, I'm not really interested because of the fact that I didn't feel that, you know, we would click. And I know deep in my heart, I just didn't feel comfortable. So
right.
Raphael is a little bit needy. You know, I think he has some trauma of his own and everything. So
right.
we got into this. He started doing stuff to push my buttons because I didn't want to meet his girlfriend. He started calling me selfish. You know, he said, you know, if you're going to be my friend, you must be willing to meet the people within my social circle, and to do otherwise is selfish. And then, you know, he was just like saying, you know, you're going to, you know, the next time we hang out, she's going to be around us and everything. After I told you, I didn't want to meet her. So long story short, there was this gay dude named Chris who liked Raphael or whatever. And
uh-huh.
he
– Oh, okay.
And he told,
now, what
yeah,
was
he
Raphael?
Told me,
was Raphael bisexual?
Not that I know of, but
okay.
Yeah, this gay dude named Chris.
You know me, I need to know the whole tea. Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell it. So this uh-huh. dude Chris was so into Raphael or whatever, and so he
uh-huh.
was like, "Ooh, can I touch your hair?" and all this other stuff. And one day I saw Raphael, and not Raphael, I saw Chris. And Chris, and I think
mm-hmm.
Chris did drugs or something. I think that he one minute he's in a good mood, next minute he's in a weird mood or whatever. So he said to me when he first met me, he said, the next person that stares me down, I'll punch them in the face and everything. Because he's saying, yes, I'm talking to you. And
okay.
So,
sound like Ye. Yeah. Sound like a Kanye. You look like Kanye, and he acting like Kanye.
Mm. Yeah. And I think he was jealous of the fact he told Raphael that he was jealous of me and Raphael's friendship. So he and trust me, it gets interesting from here. So a couple of years ago, I drove Raphael to Krista's house or whatever, you know, because he used to always use me for rides and everything. And so they got high on weed, and Chris came on to Raphael. He came on to him, tried to make a move on him and everything. So when Raphael and I got into the argument about me not meeting his girlfriend, he said to me, well, you know, Chris told me that you had a crush on me, and that would be the only reason why you would not want to meet my girlfriend. Otherwise, I don't know why you don't want to meet her. So So I said to, you know, to Raphael, I said, you know what, let's just part ways because if I'm telling you I don't want to meet your girlfriend and you keep pushing and pushing and telling me to do it, you know, that says you don't care about my feelings, and that means you're in the drama, you know, because,
right.
You know, he's like, you're being ridiculous right now. Suit yourself, man. And, you know, yes, we did a lot of stuff. Me and Raphael did a lot of stuff. We used to go watch Netflix, hang over his house. And I'm a lot lonely now, but I have more peace. I have more peace, you know. And you know, I wish him and his girlfriend well. I wish him and Chris well if they decided they want to do something like that, whatever. But, you know, my life is a lot peaceful now that drama is out of my life.
Right. And so, I'm with you on that too. And then you and I are manifesting similar things. And so we've been online friends, and you've been one of the leaders with the James Franco group since it began. And as we're coming closer, we both are in similar places, removing drama, removing negativity, mm-hmm. and we're manifesting, both of us, I'm noticing, are manifesting more peace within and within our relationships, too. Because, mm-hmm. you know, even with Terry and I'm like, okay, what's going on? But it seems like we both are individually, and then we're dealing with this pandemic, too. Because this past 2 years, which you always mention, it caused many of us to take inventory of our lives. What mm-hmm. brings us peace? What brings us drama? And mm-hmm. taking inventory properly, we need to always choose peace.
Pre-pandemic,
but most definitely during this pandemic.
And it might be lonely. It might be lonely, but it is definitely worth it. It is definitely worth it. And I'm not going to lie to you. I tell the whole world, you know, now that me and Raphael don't talk anymore, I had periods of loneliness where I did cry out of loneliness.
Yes.
You know what that means? I'm growing. Because
I have friends that I miss those weekly lunch dates with, friends that we always would go maybe to. I love museums and love art museums and so on. There are certain friends that I haven't been with. And then I'm thinking, is it a pandemic, or did we just outgrow each other, or is it because of my personal relationship, or is it because of the pandemic? The pandemic, we have our reasons for things in our lives, but then also we're dealing with this new life with the pandemic too, that really causes us to reflect on ourselves and reflect on our relationships. And you're right, even the how our family relationships are function or dysfunctional. Most of us do deal with dysfunctional situations. Even the most perfect families are dealing with some dysfunctionality. Because you and I sound like twins. No joke. So I'm so glad you're sharing your stories with with all of us, listeners around the world. Around the world are relating to what you're sharing. So you're confirming with many of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, just go for your peace, you know. I mean, I've had to, let me tell you, I've had to, like you just said, I had to block people on Facebook, you know, and I've had to just, you know, just do some painful things, but it is totally worth it.
And then you mentioned, wow, you mentioned, and being a man, you mentioned you even cry. So do you want to elaborate on that? Because I think it's cool for men to cry.
I think it's fine.
Don't hold those feelings in. Let those emotions out. Even some women don't want to cry. They think some women don't. I cry. I just put it that way. But I want to hear your take on crying. And also, there are some women that don't want to see their men cry. But let them express themselves. We are human beings.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with crying. I don't think it's anything wrong with crying. You know, yes, you're gonna feel like the world is ending, but you know, but hey, you know, you're gonna heal. You know, but I would prefer when I do cry, I would prefer to have somebody petting. You know, like obviously comforting me, but.
Right.
You know, I just realized that sometimes you're not going to have somebody comforting you, and sometimes it's just best to just get it out.
Right.
And you know, that's just one less stroke you have to worry about, you know. So, because, you know, if you hold your feelings, then, you know, yes, it can be very harmful. And, you know, I don't want to be one of those people that has strokes and heart attacks because I didn't, I didn't let my emotions out because, you know, everything is connected. The emotions is connected. You know, all health is connected. All personal health is connected. You know,
exactly.
It's like your teeth will affect, like if your teeth is in pain, it will affect your whole body, you know?
Exactly, because I'm taking a checklist. I'm making doctor's appointments now from PE to chiropractor to dental. You're right. We got to make physical tune-ups, take care of ourselves physically, mentally, what you're talking about. Mentally affects our mind. A mentor of mine said something about get your mind, your physical mind right, and everything else will fall in place because everything's connected, like you're stating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
we have a caller. We have a caller too. So you can finish with your point. I don't know. You can finish your point, and let's see what our caller would like to share. I don't think so. I think it's a surprise caller.
I'm here.
But you can finish your statement, and we will listen to the caller.
Well, I just said, we gotta really take care of ourselves, and sometimes that's the way to peace. So you know,
right? Okay, yeah, mentioned lo-fi music. Everybody might not know what lo-fi music is. So would you like to give examples of the type of lo-fi music that you listen to? I like to listen to subliminal information music.
Lo-fi music is basically music that it's really weird. It's really weird. It's like college kids listen to it and they take samples from old music and they put it into instrumentals. And some people would label it hip hop, but college kids definitely study to this. And you hear just all this, you know, the instrumentals. You'll hear just like stuff like. It's hard to explain, but it helps you to focus. It definitely helps you to focus.
Old heads, right. Old heads like me, we would call it ambient. Like when you, like for example, he mentioned hip hop, and it's like a music. I used to go to raves. Those of you that like rave music, he's talking about like the imported music from the UK, the relaxing music, but mixed music.
Yeah.
Lo-fi.
Yeah.
Yes. And I like classical music too. It brings peace. also. I like, you're right. And like I said, I even sent you a subliminal affirmation video recently. Those are very common also. Yes. But I'm glad you shared that. Some that's a business all in itself. Ask many of your DJ friends also. Or you can Google lo-fi music. And Michael, if you contact Michael, he might email you or send you a sample of the music that he listens to.
Let me just say the song that I can give them an example of.
Okay.
It's this song called Moody, and it's by this artist named Jasper. You spell Jasper like Casper, but only with a Y. Y-A-S-P-E-R.
Oh, okay.
Moody.
Okay. And that's a good title for a song that will calm you, Moody.
Yeah.
Get them.
Yeah. So I'm anxious to hear what the caller that's calling. I'm anxious to hear from
him. Okay. Good. Thank you. Okay. Hello
there.
Welcome
doing?
To Culture Shock Entertainment Report. We're doing good. We're glad that you are joining us. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. There's something that I was initially calling in for, but when it comes to that stuff, the classical music is very mathematical. They're never going to tell you to play, you know, they want you to play Sebastian Bach, Beethoven, all this stuff to a pregnant woman's stomach. They're never going to tell you you should, you know, turn on your speakers and play some ambiance. I'm sorry.
Right.
So where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
Chi-town.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Chicago. I am Beth, creator, host of the show. I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. And Michael, you're asking him where is he from?
DC.
Where are you?
In D.C.
Okay. Yeah, I've been out there 2 times in my life. If you don't live there, you can only visit a handful of times. You have all the beautiful architecture.
Yeah.
But the city,
itself.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I look forward to visiting that area for the first time this year. What's your name?
I'm Josh.
Oh my God!
Oh
my
Josh.
God!
We both love the name Josh.
Listen, let me tell you something, Josh. I have so many friends named Josh that it's ridiculous. I have a friend right now who is a model. He's like a model, and he's a good singer, and he's just phenomenal. And I wish him really well. And he does have his own yoga stuff and everything. I don't know if you do yoga. I know all Josh's are different. So just wanted to put that out. I don't know what is up with me and Josh's.
Well,
you know, we're all over the place. We spread like the plague.
Oh my goodness, in a good way. So please, yes. All Josh's that I know are awesome. One celebrity Josh, I'm just crazy about now, Dallas, Josh Henderson, singer, model too, like you mentioned. But I have friends right here named Josh. What industry are you in? And we would like to know what you would like to share with us also. Thank you for sharing that regarding ambience music.
I'm just saying, you know, the classicals, they're very mathematical. They make you smarter, even if you're studying, you know. I know a lot of these college kids, I came from a college town. Everyone's, you know, I'm not going to say any pills or anything that anyone's taking to stay up, but they're all listening to classical music. And then you have that stuff in the background when the stress is off, and that's when you listen to ambiance when the stress is off.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So what do you think about lo-fi music, Josh? Do you think that it helps, or...?
I think that, all music helps. I mean, if you're really angry and you turn on some heavy metal and you have a punching bag, you know, I'm pretty sure that'll release some stress.
Wow,
yeah.
Cool.
Right.
Interesting.
So are you sharing with us ways that you find peace within?
Oh, there's a lot of ways. I got to say up front, I'm Praetorian Catholic. That's
yes.
straight out of Jerusalem, not the Roman thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you go back to the center, the actual meaning of it, the Greek meaning, the katholos, according to the whole.
Yes.
And the way you find peace within is recognizing where you are in this world, what you are in this world. And that is to be here to experience it. And there is nothing you can do in most arenas to change a lot of the nonsense that's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
You can accept it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to agree with it. There's never going to be anything peaceful about the turmoil that we're all experiencing. But to
mm-hmm.
accept that it's happening and do the best you can in your own local area. Because you're not going to change the world.
Ah.
Very few people do that.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not Mahatma Gandhi.
No,
you know?
We're not.
Right.
Yeah, and I think the sooner people realize that you can affect change more locally, then that's actually going to be the most beneficial thing.
Amen.
You can't have peace. You can't have peace in the world. You can have peace around your neighborhood. You can have peace in your city. You can have peace in your county, your state. You can't have peace forever, all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow,
that is great
to share. With this being a worldwide podcast too, listeners from all around the world, that's important for you to share. And that's exactly where I am at. Also. It's important for us to know where we are in this world, where we are mentally, spiritually, in good, in health, and what can we do? Some people might say, well, I have limitations. I can't donate what I can to my neighborhood, or I can't physically come out and do things. But if you're on the internet, you can share information on social media. There's different ways. So it's good that you make those points, because I think most of us want to change the world, and that's what stresses us even more. Like, how can I make the world a better place?
That's the big problem. This is the problem with what this is the problem is that we've gotten way too smart.
Mm-hmm.
We're so smart that we have technology that we're not being responsible with. We have the ability to communicate with people all over the world, but we don't even know our neighbor's
yes.
name.
Exactly.
That's true. That is very
we
true.
We destroyed the community
true.
That we have around us physically to participate
mm-hmm.
in a community globally with people that agree with us.
So Josh, let me ask
right.
you, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 31.
Oh, wow. You're young. Wow.
Very
wow.
wise.
So,
he's very
yeah,
wise.
He
has a lot of wisdom. What industry do you work in?
Are you a community advocate? I can't do that anymore in Chicago. I'm tired of – it's basically beating your head against the wall and
– Hello?
We're here.
You good on your own?
Hello? His...
Yeah,
okay.
You broke up a little bit. Yeah, you broke up.
Did
a
you hear
bit.
Me?
Yeah, you're...
Yes, I can hear
yes,
you.
Yes, your statement
yeah.
had went blank for a second. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
No, the community advocacy stuff in big cities is basically
mm-hmm.
beating your head against the wall trying to get a different blood splatter.
Wow.
Oh.
You know, because
I'm in a medium-sized growing city, and we're number one, believe it or not, of leading the country in homicides, and it's crazy.
And you know what?
The senseless killings
and
that happen here, and if only people would find peace within, and the crimes in cities like here in Jackson, Mississippi, Chicago, Baltimore. I mean, it seems like if people would go within. We won't have so much going on. We
you're,
have at least
you're
something
talk,
that
you're
we need
talk,
to talk about in the future.
You're talking
let,
about
at least.
Hey, Josh, let me tell you.
Well,
so, you know,
but Josh
you know,
was saying
I
something.
Was,
what?
Oh, my bad. I was I was going to say that in Baltimore they have 300 homicides, in Baltimore, and they're trying to find out how they can stop it. You know, you have mass shootings, and I know Chicago is having their own issues with Mayor
yeah.
Lightfoot, because I saw her on the news, and I know she got into like a cop.
She is a terrible mayor.
Hmm. Oh my God! I try to make my peace, but even here on this show, I was very upset how she went against the teachers, wanting to be safe and keep their students safe.
When it comes to all this stuff, and this is the breakdown that I can really offer. When it comes to all this stuff, all these mayors of all these cities, all these senators and governors. Be honest with yourself, is what they're doing actually making your life better, or is it making it worse?
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, there is this whole thing that's really important to understand about Mayor Lightfoot. She sat there and said to fund the police along with all the other mayors of major cities. And then when the rioters came to her street, she hired off-duty police to work security to make sure nobody walked down her street.
Mm.
So that's the corruption
we're
talking about in Illinois.
And see, that's local news that we didn't see or hear.
And you also know State's Attorney Merlin Mosby has been charged with fraud or something like that. In Maryland, they said that she would use city money to buy a vacation house. So, you know,
wow.
So they were talking about this on the radio when I was at work, and it's just like, you know, Baltimore has such a dark cloud over it when it comes to leaders, because I don't know if you are familiar with the history of Baltimore, where the mayor Catherine Pugh was in trouble for like some corruption and stuff. So, you know,
shocked. Yes, I remember when that happened about 4 years ago, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
can I throw two logs in the fire here?
Yeah.
One is that I'm from Illinois, and four out of our last six governors went to prison for corruption.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
We are almost as corrupt, if not more corrupt, than New York, New Jersey, and California.
Oh my.
And we only have one city running the entire thing. I don't know what it is about coasts that makes cities crazy. It doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, they're on a coast of Lake Michigan and they're insane, just like New York. I don't know.
Oh,
and two, I can offer an actual solution.
So what's your solution?
You know that concept of the separation of church and state?
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes.
You know that's not real. That's not real, right? You know that's just an excerpt from Thomas Jefferson's diary?
Yes,
oh,
exactly.
Because
America was built based on the church. It's on our money. In God we trust. So how can
keep
church and state separate?
All right, so here's a simple solution that a lot of people are ignoring, even though it costs nobody any money. The politicians in a local area get in contact with church leaders in the local area. You won't have a bunch of these kids shooting each other in the major city if you send them to the church to do volunteer work instead of allow them to be in gangs on the street.
I agree. Recently in Jackson, Mississippi, where I am, men and women of CLOMPS did a program with our police department. And I hope that is a start to what you are talking about, where not only where the pastors and men and women of CLOMPS meet the community where they are, but to open the doors for more outreach programs, for ministries, for the kids and people of all ages can see the church is here for what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Come in and volunteer. Come in and help the community.
I'm just saying these religious leaders are supposed to be a conduit to God. They're supposed to be an example for man to be better.
And even
there is no
right
person
now, that's been even right now, that's being questioned too.
There's no person that what?
I was saying there is no person better in my mind other than the parents of these children, especially in a community that can guide their children towards God and away from all this nonsense than a religious leader.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. We are all alike.
I'm just saying,
it truly does. Old saying, it takes the village to raise a child, that is true. That is true. That's real life.
Yes,
it takes all
of us
to have God.
Yes, ma'am. And the thing that messes me up the most is that we keep celebrating people who are terrible. I'm not saying you, me, or this gentleman. I'm saying our society keeps putting terrible people on a pedestal, people that play sports, people that are celebrities. And it doesn't really matter what their opinion on anything is because they're not actually the most intelligent people that should be speaking on it. I'm saying that we need to keep it local. If these kids need guidance, there's guidance locally. Just introduce one aspect of it, the political people, to the other aspect of it, the religious people. It's not that difficult, you know. We could save how many thousand lives with that?
Exactly. Yes, and keep many out of prison and help many become community advocates or find their industry that they're meant to work in. What industry do you work in since you said you really kept banging your head against the wall being a community advocate?
I couldn't save the community, and I would be hard-pressed to find anybody that could. I've done security. I worked security in a bunch of schools. And these kids just keep bringing weapons to school.
You are an expert. You are definitely an expert in what you're talking about also. And much love to you. I have so much love for those that work in security, law enforcement, first responders. So you have seen things that the parents haven't even seen.
Absolutely. I've had to sit down in an office and explain what happened to parents before.
Translate to them what their kids are dealing with.
Like, your kid, I don't know what's going on at home. I don't know what your kids are going through. Uh-huh. We have counselors and all this stuff. But I think that's actually the problem, is offering all this emotional support all the time is making kids think that, they're not responsible for their actions when they do them.
Right.
Because there's always an out. I was mentally distressed. Okay, you'll never find a human on this planet that has not gone through some kind of hell, because to live is to suffer.
Yes. Yeah, that's the purpose for the topic tonight. Michael was like, we need to talk about finding peace within. And I'm like, we definitely do. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Right, kids, they need to know that we all are dealing with chaos and disorder.
Wow.
That's pretty much the entire human existence. You're going to stub your toe one day. You might be a multi-billionaire, but you're going to stub your toe, and you're going to have a moment to consider, what could I have done to avoid this? Yeah. Someone's going to break up with you. You're going to lose your job.
Life is good. Life is good, but
absolutely.
It's also full of ups and downs. Yes, because some listeners might say, well, they sound rather pessimistic. No, life is good. We want to live. I know I want to live a long, long time. I want to live like Betty White. life is good, but we're talking about how to have peace within and how to have more external peace, too.
Here you go. I got you on that, too. My pastor, when I was a kid, right before I got confirmed in the Catholic Church, you ready for this?
Yes.
He said that you're going to struggle. There's no avoiding that, but every single thing that is placed in front of you is an obstacle, and God will never place anything in front of you that you can't handle. You choose whether or not you're defeated by something that you are born to tackle.
Wow. That's interesting. That's deep.
That's very deep, and it seemed like it goes hand in hand with my late mother always said, never give up. Beth, you and your friends never give up. You never seen me give up. Don't you give up. And she would add, put it all in the hands of the Lord. And I'm like, all of it, Mom? Like, not some, not most. All of it.
The only thing we're messing up these days, we're giving these kids an option. Give up or don't. It's like, no, you can't actually give up. You have to keep going. stop giving up all the time.
And it's very interesting, Michael. You mentioned interesting. That's your word. It's very interesting. Keep going. Don't give up. We will be victors. Victory will be won. Don't give up. How are you going to find out? How are you going to find out the ending? How are you going to find out how this chapter goes into the next chapter? Our lives are like books. How are you going to find out about the next chapter if you give up on chapter 2?
Wow, man. That's very interesting that you work with kids, that you have worked with kids.
Yeah. So he is an expert. What have been some of your surprising responses from parents when you talk to them and tell them the truth about their child?
Do you understand the different? Okay. I'm not going to ask anybody's ages, but I'm guessing we're all at least over the age of 30.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be 36 in March. So,
okay.
And I'm 20 years older. I'm in my early 50s, but I do not look it. I look like I'm 31.
All right. So,
hold on. But I'm in my early 50s.
she's on her 20th, 30th birthday. All right.
Exactly. Right.
I got you. So back in the day, if you guys messed up in school, if you got a bad grade, if you got detention, if your parents came in and had to talk to the teachers, were the parents mad at you or were they mad at the teachers?
They were mad at us.
Yeah.
Back in the day, my neighbors, anybody that knew, they would be mad at me.
Yeah, but that's the whole problem. Today, the parents come into these teacher conferences, and they're mad at the teacher for disciplining their children in a way that made them emotionally vulnerable. Do you understand what I'm saying? We completely shifted the script of the responsibility of the parent to raise the child. Now the state is raising the child in the schools, and if the parent who feels neglectful of their children or whatever – they say, hey, your child got a D on this math test. Do you want to talk about maybe getting them some tutoring or maybe taking some home extra work home to school them yourself? No, my kid is an angel. My kid is the smartest, most benevolent thing that's ever existed. That's nonsense. Yeah, so we completely removed the discipline for the child out of the equation.
Right. I'm friends with a couple that are successful business owners, and after they lost their daughter, they opened a teen center in her honor of her name many years ago. And they had surveillance cameras, state-of-the-art things in this teen entertainment facility. So everything would be filmed. The parents would get mad at them because they might have called them to come pick their kids up because their kids weren't misbehaving. The parents would not believe it until they would show them the video. Like, well, you don't believe it? I would have surveillance all over the place, this surveillance tape. And the parents would be shocked.
They'll be shocked that they spoiled their child for several years and then their child has no respect for authority outside of the house. Yeah, that's astonishing.
Right. Right. Where we felt like at my age now, I feel like somebody's always watching. You know, a neighbor, an aunt, an uncle. Somebody's watching how you behave.
You see, that was actually the beauty of it, is that you always felt that you had to look over your shoulder before you did something terrible. So you already have God watching you the entire time. When you die, you're going to have to explain yourself.
Yeah, God is watching us anyway. Right.
But then you had that extra where you had to look over your shoulder because you might think you're getting away with something, but then that hand comes and slaps you in the butt, and then you're reminded you're still on earth.
Or before you get to the house, so-and-so called me and told me they seen you and your friends at such and such. I mean, what happened to that? I mean, it seems like now people see things and they look the other way. Because why? What you just mentioned, parents, parents and guardians will not believe you, or you end up being in, getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you forget that all of these kids these days, you know, the crime rate is up ridiculously, but all of these kids are angels. You see some 14-year-old kid shoot five people, and the mother comes on.
Right.
Oh, well, my baby, he was, you know, getting straight A's. It's like, it doesn't matter if he did something evil. You didn't even recognize it because you're not
right.
actually parenting him. What are you doing?
Right. Our fine humor. For some reason, some parents and older adults find humor in the misbehavior of some of these young people, some of these kids.
I don't know. My belt doesn't have enough notches on it. I don't know. That's with you.
Right.
No, these kids, they don't have discipline these days. Everybody's being handed a participation trophy. They're talking about their feelings, whether or not they know anything doesn't really matter anymore. And then they kill these kids' entire mentality and their interaction with other human beings with this COVID stuff. So, I mean, that's where we're at now. We're doing positive stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something. That's just like the.
Let me tell you guys too. The live broadcasting stopped, so it's just us three talking right now.
Oh.
We will continue the discussion on Friday. We can keep talking, but we'll continue talking
the
about
rollover?
Finding peace within on Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just the three of us talking now. But the episode is ready to listen to, and we'll continue the discussion. Josh, please call us back on Friday during the show. We can continue talking, so don't hang up. But I just wanted to let you know that we're talking privately now.
But,
yeah, I used to have one of these shows too. Go ahead, Mike.
What is the name of your show? What's the name of your show?
No, I did a show back in the day. We used to have like 30,000 listeners a week. It was beautiful. And
right.
then they stopped funding
exactly.
us, so
when
why
I,
would I continue?
Right. When I premiered in 2011, and I'm working on getting our listenership back up now with a consistent schedule. And, yes, that's how my listenership was in like 2015 and so on. But, yes, but then you make a good point. If you touch one or two people, that's good. So we're so glad that you called in.
And I didn't think
anybody
was
And then you're right.
When
I started the podcast, it's an entertainment lifestyle show where it's intended for intellectuals like ourselves that want to know, want to talk about the facts, not the gossip, which Michael and I, we talked about gossiping last week, talk about the facts of important topics and how we can make a difference in the world.
I just wanted anybody that's listening to the downloader of this later to make a mark that she called me an intellectual. I love that. Go on.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that's really important. And you made a good point about reaching worldwide audience. When I started the podcast, I mean, I knew it was worldwide, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, the countries that support this podcast is just amazing. Of course, the United States, but Canada, we get a lot of listeners from. For the longest, the UK was number two. Now Canada is number two. Finland, Germany. I'm looking at Japan that love the show. Spain, Italy, Russia, Turkey. It's just amazing where people are located that like the show.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. I was covering people. I was covering news stories all over the place. I ended up talking to people in Bulgaria, the Philippines, the Congo even.
Right.
So,
yeah,
yes.
it's amazing.
So, Josh, how did you find out about this this program? How did you stumble across us?
It was blogtalkradio.com/live. It wasn't some magical thing. I just saw you guys were going, and you know I don't listen to old shows. I love live because if you have the ability to interact with people, you know that makes it a little bit more personable.
Okay, so
that's
another
what
thing
I love.
I love
your advice regarding peace too, because you make a good point. You can make peace right where you are, and so many of us want to make a difference in the world, but we can make a difference financially. Those that like to donate money, our clothes, our items, on social media. Some people might say, "Well, my health's not good. I can't get out there and pick trash up." But you can spread the word when you know about events.
Well, have you ever heard of the concept of the ripple effect?
Yes, I've heard of it, but let me listen to you.
Yeah.
That's all it is making a plunge into the waters of trying to make around you better, and then it ripples out. You interact with other people, you know, in the city next to you, the town next to you, whatever, and then you influence them to continue doing the good work, and then they influence people in the town next to them. It's the ripple effect. The drop of the stone in the water, it ripples out until the edges of the world.
Wow. So Josh, I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you have been listening to the news about the new governor of Virginia. He is stopping the mask mandate. What do you think about that?
I think that at the end of the day, well you're talking, okay, so you recognize normally we recognize three different forms of life. That's plant, fungi, and obviously animal, if we're going to accept our position as animal. And then the smarter, more in-depth is that there are viruses. There are diseases all over the place. And what viruses do over time, because they're also a living organism, is that they will make their presence less and less known over time. They won't impact stuff because they don't want to be fought against. They want to survive just like us. I can't say what anybody do, and I think that's a baseline. At least, you know, our entire nation was founded on the government is terrible at everything. Never trust them. Never tell people what to do, because the more you tell humans not to do something, they're going to do it in spite of you telling them not to do it. Yeah.
That's true.
Right.
That is true. Wow. Very inspiring.
You mentioned defund the police and defend the police. Believe it or not, Michael and I are on the opposite sides of the fence. I'm all about defending.
Oh, how
Michael
is that going?
Defunding. It's going good, because we understand where each other come from. So it was good to hear you mention that, because we have that debate going on.
who's for defund the police? Because let's go into the history
I'm for
of what they actually
I'm
are.
I'm for defending. Michael's for defunding. But I understand.
Yeah, because
I understand. He believes in what you were mentioning, more community of programs
that
need to be funded.
It's not what people think it is, and that you know, people, the Republicans, forgive me for saying, they are using that to their advantage. The tactics that the Republicans are using is scaring people. That's what I see, because you know, when they say defund, they think of stopping the police. No. It's taking the funds and bringing those funds to mental health programs, community programs, but they see it as something different. And, you know, it doesn't mean what other people think it means. But, you know, I could be wrong.
Do you want to go?
I'm sorry. Go on, ma'am.
And I'm what I call an outspoken, open mind, good repub. So, you know, we have so much fun.
So the history of the concept of the police, because it's just a concept. Nobody is even a police officer. There's no such thing as a president. We're all just a bunch of humans running around here wearing different costumes, right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. So go back to the the history of it. Where do you think the police came from?
I don't know where they came from.
Well, individually, they come from the community, just like politicians come from the community.
Well,
but
no, guys, that wasn't it. That wasn't a trick question. What? Where do the concept of somebody staying up at night so you can sleep? Where does that come from?
Well, that's part of our government, to govern the people and make and protect and serve the people.
I'm talking about where does it actually come from, though? The concept of somebody staying up while you sleep at night, some armed men walking around the village to protect you. How old do you think that is?
Thousands of years old.
I believe from the beginning of time.
Yes, sir.
When the world was created.
Yep, it goes back to the Epic of Gilgamesh. It goes back to Sodom and Gomorrah, even. I wouldn't really want to brag about that, but yeah. City-states.
Right.
So back when
and
humans
then the
were
Bible,
first.
Because you read about, well, I can't say the scriptures, but it's I see it in the Bible. It's always watchmen. Or, you know what, we've been protected and served.
City guards.
Beginning.
The city guards, yes. The city guards are where the police come from. All right, okay, no, because I can't defend it if I don't talk about the origin of it and the progression of it.
Yes. Yes.
So the origin was just people staying up, because I don't know if you guys wanted to get attacked by lions and tigers and whatnot in the woods, but if you fell asleep at night, there was always going to be someone standing guard circling the camp with a weapon to protect you. Even before city-states, there was always a guard at night. All right, so that concept moved thousands of years forward. There are people that are committing violent crimes all over the world all the time, and that's what we're dealing with today.
Mm-hmm.
And they have hundreds of years of policies that have been enacted. You know, we stole a lot from the British, but we have a concept of law and order where if somebody commits a crime, depending on how egregious that crime is, there's going to be a punishment to a certain degree. Some of those require, once again, the city guard, armed men, to come and detain them. And unfortunately, this happens so often in America that they have to sit in jail for long periods of time before they get an opportunity to defend themselves in front of a judge.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's where everything turns actually terrible. And we have political appointments for the district and state attorney, so they lie. Kamala Harris, she kept, How many people did she keep? 1,300 people she kept when she knew that they were innocent? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
bad?
No, people... is
that's
it good?
Amy Klobuchar,
you,
too.
Yeah, all of them.
Wow.
No, all politicians... Here, no, let's start... It's not political at all. All politicians are garbage. I don't care who they are.
Because
Yeah.
Wow. Because I heard she's real hardcore in California.
She kept people. Do you know why she did that though?
Why?
Because they had wildfires.
I don't know.
No, they had wildfires, and she kept them to pay them $1 an hour to work on crews to put them out.
Oh.
That's Kamala Harris. That's the vice president of our country today. She kept people in prison to put out wildfires for $1 an hour.
Oh, I heard she was a tough whatever position she had, prosecutor before or whatever. I heard
tough. She was the district attorney for San Francisco, wasn't she?
Right.
Yeah.
I heard she was like real tough, so I didn't know if it, you know, being a woman too. I didn't know if it was just, you know, showing that she could be
tough.
Yeah,
I know. No, it's not even that. No. I don't care what genitalia you have or the color of your skin or even if you pray to the ground, the wall, or the ceiling. I don't care what anybody believes in. The law has nothing to do with anybody's sexuality, gender, race, whatever. It has nothing to do with that. You apply it
but to
across
pay people
the board,
a dollar.
Or don't.
Wow.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with any of that. She's just a terrible person.
Wow, to pay people a dollar. To pay people a dollar because of a budget, probably. That's enslavement. Wow.
Yes. Yes, you are correct. And most of them were black, by the way.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Kamala Harris did not care
wondering.
About people.
Wow.
Mm. Wow.
And I'm not saying that because I know her personally. I'm saying by your actions, you are known. If you act terribly towards people, I see how you think about people.
Mm. Wow. So you do know her personally? You say you do
he
know her
absolutely
personally?
Not. No, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Oh, but wow.
Wow. Interesting. Mm.
And see, that goes on to humanity. So how can you get, I mean, politicians, humanity should be first.
You know what? Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. A couple of years ago, my friend gave me Netflix, and he let me watch this a little documentary on Capitol Hill about some of these homophobic senators are really gay.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it's called.
That's true.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of the documentary, but it was a really good documentary. Like, if you remember Larry Craig, the one who was tapping. Yeah, tap, you know. He was the one who was so anti-gay, but come to find out he was soliciting gay sex in the airport bathroom.
Right.
You know?
You know what that's called psychologically? It's called
what?
Projection. You shit on the thing that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, that's projection. The man was gay. He decided he was going to go really hard against gay people. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
University
of Michigan just fired like their president or one of their leaders because he have gone public telling the staffers what they can't do. They can't date other. Staffers, but yet he was dating a staffer, so they fired him.
You know,
like, you're gonna make a rule, and then you're doing the same thing you're telling people not to do.
It always comes full circle, and you know that's actually my answer about the mass in Virginia. Do one to others as you would have others do one to you.
Mm.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So if
you
don't want to wear a mask, you don't want to have anybody force you to wear a pink hat someday. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Right.
Why is it a specific article of clothing? You don't want to wear a bright yellow hat with a flower in it, but the state comes in and says you have to wear that. It's up to you.
Is it mandatory in Illinois? I do my best to keep up with states. Is it mandatory in your state? It's not mandatory in Mississippi.
It is mandatory
in the city of Jackson.
I only did it for 5 minutes when I went into a grocery store. I had a cop try to stop me when I was walking my dog, but I just kept walking. He's like, hey, you're not wearing a mask.
Wow. So it is mandatory in the state.
So you have to wear it
outside? Yeah, it's not mandatory here. Governor Abbott of Texas and our governor Tate Reeves, they a long time ago they stopped the mandate. But the capital city that I live in, Mayor Lumumba, who he was diagnosed with COVID when Lightfoot was diagnosed with COVID. He's always been strict about us wearing masks in the city, but the state does not. Have to wear a mask, and when people come into the city and go to some businesses, they get really upset because a lot of people don't want to wear a mask.
Who wants to wear a mask?
So, are they strict about it outside?
No, I don't. Well, I've never really played with it. Like I said, I only wore it in a grocery store because I knew they wouldn't sell me food. But I was walking my dog through. It's a park attached to an elementary school across from my house. And he was yelling at me. He was like, hey, you don't have a mask on. And I did that one thing where you ignore nonsense. And I just kept walking. And he didn't follow me.
Mm, okay.
Wow. Now, now when we're walking freely, it's like it's okay. I don't wear a mask when I'm walking freely.
I don't wear a mask in any situation other than I walk into a building where they won't provide the good or service that I'm there for. I don't wear a mask.
Okay. That's how my guy is. And he lives in the rural area of Mississippi, and the masks aren't mandated only in the capital city. And he mentioned yesterday, he's like, I guess I'll wear a mask when I go. I guess he had to go somewhere like you go. He had to go somewhere where you have to wear it. You know, you don't have
You're going to love this, though. Yes. You're going to love this, though, the mask that I have. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
It's the Gadsden.
Oh, my God. What does it say? It says, no step on snake.
Yeah, don't step on snake.
Oh, no.
In Illinois, where they are terrified of guns, because this is the dumbest state I've ever been in. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no. It's a pro two-way thing. Yeah, I mean, at what point, you know, because they're going to, like, put your mask on. Okay, guns are a human right, you know. I just slap that across my face. It's like, do you want me to keep it on or keep it off? And am I advertising something you don't like?
I'm glad you mentioned that, too. Why do you all think it's been an increase in crime, violent crimes, in the past 2 years since this pandemic started?
Mental health.
You would think people
would be
more peaceful.
No, absolutely not. No, if you deprive people of human interaction and you keep them locked in their homes, they're going to lose their minds. Yes, mental health. They're going to lose their minds naturally. There is no other way for this to come about.
Even today, that's been the national story. And it's happening in small cities and big cities, cities of different sizes. The violent crime rate has increased. And I thought maybe
What does that tell you? The people telling you that you should be stuck in your homes and wear your mask and get 20 different COVID jabs, they don't actually care about you. They don't care about your neighborhood. They don't care about the stores you shop in because a lot of them are shut down because they keep stealing from them. They don't care about you at all.
Right.
You know what?
Welcome
you
to
know
America.
What scared me? Right. You know what scared me in 2020 was when they tried to kidnap the governor of Michigan, Governor Gretchen. They tried to kidnap her because she was so strict with the COVID rules, and it's just like, wow, this is crazy. This is
Did you hear about that?
That was wild.
Did you hear about what was actually happening with that?
What happened with it?
The majority of the people involved were FBI agents acting as COINTELPRO, counterintelligence provocateurs. Yeah, they dropped the cases on almost everybody.
Was that the true story? Was that the true story behind it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, the FBI was trying to get people riled up to do something crazy. So they helped orchestrate the plan. They helped. Yeah, that was the FBI.
That's something, because even our capital here in Jackson, Mississippi, even it was under watch by the FBI during that week, because they were watching So the people we thought were protecting and serving us, they were behind it. Wow.
Welcome to America, man. This is America. Yeah, federal agencies with no accountability at all.
Because the FBI was watching our capital, because they were like, well, it might be something across the country that would happen, like in Michigan. So they had I frequent that area, and I had gone to a grocery store nearby to get lunch, and on my Wi-Fi, I seen FBI surveillance come up on my Wi-Fi feed. And so I'm like, well, they definitely are around, because I wasn't far from the Capitol. I was like, well, they definitely are around.
Let me promise you how safe you are. You're not a politician, and you are not a lying, terrible person. You're okay.
I'm a well-known political enthusiast, And it's almost time for me to run for an office. And it scares me because I'm trying to figure out, you all help me figure this out. Most politicians start from grassroots and they get in it for the people. Why does it seem like when they get to the position, then when they get to the position where they can help the people, why, what happens? That scares me.
You're ignoring human nature at this point. No, they're offered shiny objects, and we are basically humans and magpies at the same time. We love shiny objects. So a vacation home somewhere in the Alps, I don't know, shiny objects. You want a mansion somewhere? Sure. Why not? A fast car, bright red? Sure. Why not? That's all it is. They keep handing each other free things to get influenced politically. So someone like Dan Crenshaw down in Texas, he signed
it not like him.
In the beginning. Yes, nobody likes him. He's a terrible person. But in the beginning, he tried really hard to sound genuine. And then he started talking on a podcast, and everyone realized he's the exact same thing that is creating all the problems. He's another guy who doesn't care about the people that voted for him. He's just going to say whatever he has to say to get ahead. And here we are. And how many Democrats are retiring this year, 28? Because they do not want to be here for the backlash. Because, I don't know.
Wow.
I have to clean here.
So
I'm
there are
saying,
good,
28.
Good people in both. Good people on both sides of the aisle and independents. Some people, they're going to discontinue their careers that can really help people, but because they don't want to be part of the drama, that is sad.
Not,
that people
they don't
really want to
be a part.
People.
You know the French Revolution.
Yes.
They don't want to be there for the guillotine. 28 people are retiring. And
wow.
That's what they're actually pushing these days. They're making things crazy. It's not
28 people that could
in the Senate. Yeah,
28 people that's probably working for both for the people.
Yeah,
people
were
working for the people.
Everybody starts out working for the people.
I'm getting ready to go to bed. Hey, Josh, before you go, do you have like a social media or something? If you don't mind me asking, or.
I haven't been on social media since 2014, but I'm sorry.
Damn. Okay. Wow. Well, look, Josh, it was really nice talking to you. And I'm going to go to bed because I'm getting tired.
I have his number. Is it okay for us to document your number, Josh?
Yeah, go ahead. You're fine.
Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, so I have his number, Michael.
I can talk
a few more minutes.
Yeah, I will. Give me his number, and I will text and everything. And you guys have a good night, okay? It's nice talking to you all.
Thanks, Michael. You have a good night, bud.
And we'll continue. We'll continue Friday, Michael. And I'll talk to you when you wake up.
All right. Bye bye.
Thank you. Okay.
Good
Hello.
Guy. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Awesome. It was his idea to talk about peace, and that's something that I work on every day. Like you mentioned, we all work on every day. Even the ones that's committing all the chaos and disorder, I hope they be fighting for peace. Sometimes I think some of these criminals are trying to get attention, some of us, like we were talking about the politicians, shouldn't be ignoring it. The community, you're right. We're so focused on saving the world, not realizing that we are ignoring our own close community,
You know what would be fun, actually? I'm not going to ask you because I'm not going to disrespect you like that. But go around to people you know and ask them how many countries they can name and if they can point them out on the map. So you have
you
people,
know what? That's a good
people.
Point. And that
go on.
You have.
I was just saying.
You're right, and that used to be that from my childhood. That's always been one of my favorite things to do. And when I talk each time, on my right here, looking at where the listeners are located, I think about what you just mentioned. How many people know where certain countries are. And even myself, I'm like, some of these countries that listen to this broadcast, I'm like, I need to do research on just to, out of respect and to know where my listeners are calling from and what is part of their life, what's part of their community. At least how do I say hello in their language, you know? At least that.
But I got you. I got you for the entire western part of Europe. Are you ready? Would you like me to buy you a beer?
Oh, yes. Let me go to – let me – oh, I love beer, too. Look, you sound like you have relatives down south. You have relatives down here in the deep south?
No, I
love beer,
no,
too.
No, I'm from a couple hours south of Chicago, so we have southern accents
okay.
to a certain degree. We have a little bit of drawl in our voice.
Right. That's why I wondered if you have relatives from the south, because I know many people from your area have kinfolk, like you mentioned, from different races down. Mississippi and Illinois have that connection.
we have those
and
beautiful accents, you know. We're envious.
Yes,
the entire world
similar.
Is envious.
Right, exactly.
They love those.
So
they
I'm,
love that little bit of draw.
Yes. So I'm going to my map.
Oh, that's actually really fun for me. No, I went out of my way, but that's
right.
what I'm saying though. But no, actually, no. I was making a bigger point, mm-hmm. but I. Yeah, you were so excited. I just wanted to have you talk about it. But when it comes to people trying to fix the world, it's usually people who have never done anything at all. They've never done any. They have no accomplishments under their belt at all. They graduated maybe college.
Why?
Okay. Yeah, that's adorable, but that doesn't mean you've done anything. You just continued going through school and paying a bunch of money for it. But If you're actually going to talk to people about like solving world problems, first of all, you can't do that because there are problems in Kazakhstan that you and me have no idea.
Yeah.
We have no idea what's going on there. Azerbaijan, no idea.
Right.
Qatar, no. You, me, no. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what the political framework is in Georgia even.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about the country, not the state. But yeah, that's what I'm saying, though.
I know.
That's what I'm saying, though, is that people have this grandiose idea, and I blame this on our global communication network that we can talk to anybody. So now we're opened up to the entire world, and the possibilities are endless.
Uh-huh.
But with that possibility, you start looking so far, you start zooming out so much that you're trying to take care of things. When if you zoom in, there's a problem right next door, and nobody cares about that. And that's actually how you solve the world's problems. You take care of your next-door neighbor, then you take care of the guy down the street, then the guy in the next town. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to
right.
do that, though, because that's actually work.
And I'm glad you shared that advice. And then, and as you spoke, I'm thinking about my personal life, my own neighborhood, and I do work on that. Like I talk to neighbors, I speak to people. And you mentioned another good point, accomplishments. Like you mentioned, it take all of us to help the kids, and number one, get it into their heads, get into their parents' heads, what is actually going on. Parents need to remember how they were raised, and that's what spooks me out too. About, you know, we all know how we were raised. So what is actually going on with how parents, how the community are raising young people, and how we relate to young people? But when you shared your advice, I thought about that person in Germany. I thought about mm-hmm. people in their own communities that will start doing what you advise. If we all just start from our own little nuggets in life,
that's the funniest part about the simplicity of it is I could go to any country in the world,
right.
and say, hey, start taking care of people around you, and then tell those people to talk to their
right.
friends in the next town over. Yeah, you can take care of the entire world. It's just it's I'm not going to call it laziness. I call it naive ambition. So they want to work really hard, but they don't because they're focused on a problem way too big for them to solve when there is a problem right here,
right.
everywhere, no matter where you go, there's a problem right here for you to solve, and you want to fix the world, you can't fix the world. The world has been terrible and ridiculous for longer than anybody has even spoken words.
Right.
So, in that recognition, the simplicity is take care of the people around you, and then you branch out. You don't just think you're going to go to the Vatican and tell the Pope to pay for everybody's happiness. It's nonsense. You're not gonna go to Xi Jinping or whatever the president of China and be like, hey, put the nukes away. You know, it's not gonna happen.
Right.
You can only fix the stuff directly in your area, and hopefully, if people actually branch out and take care of each other, and I'm not saying give people handouts or whatever, but like, in what office were you intending on running for down there?
My late mother. She. I've always been groomed since I was a kid. My late mother always said that, and I feel too the same way. She said, "Run for an office that you can really make a difference in the lives of the people." So,
do you guys have a Department of Labor in your city?
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's mayor or at the Capitol. I'm thinking it's mayor or dealing with the state level.
Dealing with
and
the state.
And I love
state,
Texas also. So it's weird you mentioned Texas too. So it could be either here in Mississippi or in Texas.
Well, I have something that could help anybody really get elected pretty easily.
But here in Jackson, I'm thinking possibly. I support the mayor. We have a Democrat mayor. I am Republican. Some people have told me throughout my years that this is a red state, but the city is a blue city. But we're working on making
blue.
It purple. Right.
The cities are
but
always
blue. We're working
blue,
on
lady.
Making it purple. Right. Why is that? Why
because,
is that? The capital
because
city
when
says
people
that.
Come together. No, I actually want to explain this. When people come together in cities, they become a collective, it's an identitarian thing where, like, in Illinois, if you look at the voting records for all the different counties, you will have blue Chicago in Kane County and all that stuff up north. You'll have maybe Springfield.
Right.
Yeah, but the rest of the state is red. But they always vote blue when it comes to the Electoral College. Why?
Right.
Because a bunch of people voted
Why?
For it. Now, how different would the world be if they took one single vote from every county? Everything would be red all the time because only cities have blue people because when you come together, you guys aren't out there working on the farms. You guys aren't out there actually maintaining the infrastructure of your society.
Right.
You're just working at grocery stores and going to university, and that's it. So they never have to actually work to build the buildings, you know what I mean?
Right,
and like your city,
this city is a college town city. You know, this is a college, universities and colleges, and like Christian colleges, and so this is a college town also. So yeah, you're right, it's a red state, but it's a blue city, but we're working on being purple.
Cities are enclaves, I'm telling you right now. It's, outside your city, if you look at your voting map, you'll see all the counties outside of your city, they're all red. It's
exactly.
The same in New York.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
You make a good point. In the major, in the cities like your city, New York, Chicago, you're so right. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. They all think that the city is the most special thing about the area, even though the city is a tax burden on everybody that's not in the city.
Right.
Yeah, but
and,
they don't care about that
the
because they're in the city.
Right, and then the city is the one that needs to help with the infrastructure and and the crying.
All the time.
And then,
The time.
Yeah, and yeah.
Yep, because they don't care about anybody else. You're in this city. You're in the club. You're outside the city. You're going to have to pay for our nonsense. And that's the way of the world. That's how we're doing it right now. If they gave one single vote in every single state in the next election, one single vote for one county, there would be no Democrat president ever again.
Wow. Right. During the last broadcast, the caller that has a talk show on Blog Talk Radio, you might know, OTAP, I mentioned to him that, because we were talking about, he mentioned something about politics and conservative and Dems and Republicans and independents. And I mentioned to him, I like many Dems have conservative views. If we did like one of those taste tests like we do with food products, people would be surprised who they would vote for. I mean, people would be surprised who they would vote for.
Because they don't even
Democrats
know what they're voting for.
Many Democrats would vote for Republicans and independents, and many Republicans probably would vote across the line if politics and elections were like a taste test. When that box is lifted, they would be surprised. This was not product A; it was product B. Like that's
what did Nancy Pelosi say about AOC's district in New York? You could literally put the letter D next to a ham sandwich and it'll get elected.
Oh my goodness.
That's what it is. It's all bipartisanness. It's ideological possession. People, like, they look at Democrat, they look at Republican, they're emotionally attached to one or the other.
What?
I don't know.
What?
I might be weird. Tell me if I am. I was aware that the founding of this country was that politicians and government were all terrible. You're not supposed to trust them with anything.
Right.
And that's pretty much where I end. I don't care about Republicans or Democrats. Leave me alone. Isn't that supposed to be the American way? Leave me alone.
That's what I talk to people. That's what I talk to some people, because many people that I know, you're talking about with it. So some people care, but it's a lot of people that could care less. Let me live my life. Just government stay out of my life. See, I'm not, you know, I could care less about what's going on, and I just don't want the government getting in my life, telling me what to do. You know, right? And many Americans think that way, and you don't hear people talking about that. Some people
just
want to live their life. Right, leave me alone and my life.
There's the really dark side to this. I know we're being optimistic, but here's the dark side to this. A lot of people don't want to be responsible for themselves. They want to be told what to do so that they are not accountable for anything that they do. I think we saw this in the 30s and 40s in Germany, in most of Europe.
Wow.
Yeah, parts of Africa.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because in my mind, when I hear certain things, I'm like, this doesn't even seem like today's time.
No, we never learn from our history, so it repeats. I guarantee you it's today's time. We just don't learn from our mistakes.
Right, and that's why. Because if we would learn the lesson, it would start repeating itself.
Yep.
Wow.
But we don't. We don't. We are cyclical animals, my lady. We keep doing the same nonsense over and over again. It always ends up terribly. And then we rebuild, and then we tear it down again, and then we rebuild again. If only we would read books.
Wow. Dang. Well, because I'm left speechless sometimes. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is like history. I love history, and I see you love history, and I'm thinking back to like high school. Like I remember studying what we're dealing with now. I remember studying this in history and in government. I didn't know I would actually live it. You know, like saying. There's a lot of things, and I'm glad you mentioned it about politicians, because that's happening now. I mean, just things I learned in my, not in college, but in high school, junior high and high school government classes, right there in the books. Some things can be solved just in things that we learned in school.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, okay, are you ready to have your mind blown?
Yes.
I dropped out of high school when I was 16.
You know what? I have a gift. That was God showed that to me. I seen it. Yes.
It was when people stopped telling me what to study, and when I got interested in studying stuff like history and psychology and science and all this stuff on my own. That's the only time I paid attention.
Right. Exactly. And then you probably could have gone back to that class and taught them, the actual teachers.
Yep, that would have been a conversation.
Right.
Nope, you got to have a sense of humor,
sure
though. This is the beauty of life. You're only here for a limited amount of time. So you learn stuff, you share stuff, you pass stuff on. And you, if you can laugh really, really hard while you're here, you lived a good life.
Right. My mother, she lived to be like 86, 87. She passed away in 2017. And she was just, she was like a Betty White. And my aunt of mine had passed away in 2020 from COVID when an outbreak happened at her nursing home. But I'm like, my mother was just always just full of it, full of optimism and full of learning. Not a day went by where she didn't learn things. You know, it's important to love and to be loved, she would say to me, she and I would talk about, but then also to learn things and help other people. I just try to figure out, it seems like you and I have that instilled in our beings, but I try to figure out why most people don't look at life like that.
Because
like
they have
what
a
you
shiny
just mentioned,
object.
Have a sense of humor. Have a sense of
they
humor.
They have a shiny object. That's all. Here. Oh, you want to? Okay, you're gonna enjoy this. The crutch. All right. So
wow.
What people offer is the crutch, right? They tell people you're
right.
A victim of everything, and you lean on this imaginary crutch, right? You lean on it and you limp on
right.
it. You start faking a limp. And then you imagine yourself against psychosis at this point, and now you start limping for real, even though it's not actually, you have nothing wrong with your leg. And if people don't agree with you,
that
crutch turns into a club, and you start hitting people for not agreeing that you have a limp.
Wow.
Everyone's a victim.
I'm learning more. My faith is getting stronger, but then also I've believed in manifesting good things before, and I'm getting back into the law of attraction. And I see what you're saying now. We manifest what we believe. We manifest
yes,
what
ma'am,
we're
absolutely.
Taught. If we're taught to believe we have a limp, then that's what we're going to manifest. If we
the good
are
Lord
taught
gave
to
us,
believe we have a good.
The good Lord gave us free will, lady. We choose
right.
every single day. Every single moment that passes, we choose.
Because I even read a story today that there are some people with theories that believe Kanye West is being mind controlled. So then I'm thinking if these people are, I don't know who these people are with these theories, but then what you and I are talking about, many of us are being controlled. Many of our minds are being controlled. He just happens to be a celebrity that some people have figured out, have a theory, he's being controlled. Well, as you and I are talking, it sounds like many of us are being controlled too, but we have free will.
That's what we need to realize. Never negate your responsibility for your own actions. Because
right.
as much as people want to claim to be a victim of everything, we're all victims of life. We're born here. We're all going to stub our toes at
right.
some point. we're all going to break bones, maybe. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, terrible things happen. To live is to suffer. And if you want to have a peaceful life, you need to acknowledge that bad things are going to happen, and you need to ask yourself why. Why is this bad thing happening? Can I overcome it? Of course you can overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the entire game. Bad things are happening. Why is it happening? What am I to learn from this experience? And then you overcome it, and then you move on to the next obstacle. Because there's never going to stop being obstacles. Never
right.
In the history of humanity.
And I didn't really start experiencing like obstacles until later in my life. And I must admit, if I did, when you're younger and when you're kids, I think in a way we have this built-in confidence where if we do have an obstacle, we just say, well,
Oh no, you think you're immortal. You'll jump off as a kid. You'll jump off a roof. You think you're immortal.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking I didn't think like that as a kid and as a younger person. But I guess the older we get more pessimistic. So I would like to have that. It seems like I'm getting it back. That attitude of the glass being half full and keeping that attitude. Because I'm thinking, well, it seemed like my earlier years were easier. But you have me thinking now maybe they weren't as easy as I thought. But if they felt like it. I felt like it was really happy-go-lucky life. But we don't stick to the problem. We don't stay focused on the problem. As long as when you're a kid, as when we are adults, and adults need not to just dwell on
because,
a problem,
a child can't fix the problem, an adult can.
Right.
So the child never pays attention to the problem because they expect adults to fix it.
Right. And then observing the young people in my life. I'm like, wow, I should just be worried about my Barbie doll at this age. Not kids are like worried about other things. And you